Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
An Erio's original.
Each week, we decide who's to blame for a historical tragedy. And each week, you tell us if we got it right. My name is Rebecca Delgado-Smith, and this is The Aftermath. The Aftermath. Hey everyone, thanks for tuning into this episode of The Aftermath. Now, we are going to have an Anita Hill guest expert for next week's Aftermath, so make sure to tune in next week for that. And for today's Aftermath, we are going to be doing a mailbag episode, responding to all of our listeners' emails, thoughts, questions, everything. With us today, we have producer Amanda Lund.
Hi, Rebecca. Hi, Alarmy.
And fact checker, Chris Smith.
Hi, everyone.
Hey, guys, how are you doing? How are we doing?
Amanda, you want to take this one?
I'm great. I'm totally fine. And I'm happy because my friends are home from Canada.
That's right. Just a little update for our listeners. We were in Montreal for 2.5 months, but now we're back on the West Coast. You can hear how sunny and cheery our voices are.
Yes, we're definitely less cold.
When we were in Montreal, we were like, boo.
Well, you could probably hear teeth shattering, that kind of thing. Hey,
welcome to the Alarmist.
And yeah, I think we're feeling really good. We're in our new little garage studio space that we're recording from. So just so you guys know, it's this exciting new alarm. Here's an alarmist update on Chris and Rebecca's garage. It used to be a garage for just cars. And now
it's for podcasting.
It's for podcasting.
But
that was from all the money we made from all the podcasting that we've done.
No.
Don't tell them that. Then they won't think they have to rate and review.
No. And speaking of rate and reviews, well, Amanda, how are we doing with our ratings and reviews?
We're doing good. The Alarmy, they've stepped up.
Oh, good.
So, and like, if we can continue this streak, it'll be really, really good. I don't have my phone in front of me to read any of the new reviews, but I will just say that we look at every single one of those and those help us climb up the charts. So thank you for everyone who's taken the time to give us 5 stars. And as we've said before, even though people still like to call out their favorite one of us. And then someone left a review the other day saying that Clayton was actually their favorite.
Yes, I was just going to read that.
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Let's hear it.
This is from Daisy Fever, and she said, 5 stars, my favorite. I've been binging your show for months, and I'm just now to the beginning of 2021. I love you all, but Clayton is my favorite. Thanks for always having him as a special guest. Any thoughts on making him a permanent co-host? Just think about it. Winky face.
I don't know. He's giving Chris a run for his money. Chris, how does that make you feel?
Well, we got the IT guys. We have an IT department here at The Alarmist. We got the guys to search the database, and they tracked the ping on one of the radars at the local station. They found out that that review was actually sent by Clayton himself. So, unfortunately, while it was very nice and a good try for Clayton kind of angling to be the next, you know, to take over, I'm pretty sure, we are pretty sure the IT department at least is about 99% sure that that was definitely Clayton.
And, you know, like, here's the thing. Like Amanda said, you don't have to leave who your favorite, you know, alarmist host is. You know, you don't have to do that. And it's not like we're like really keeping count, even though like Amanda has one, I have one, and Clayton has one, and Chris has zero. And it's not like we're keeping count.
But a lot of people do call out Chris, like they'll be like, Amanda and Chris. And I have to say, we are keeping count, and Rebecca, obviously you're ahead. By a lot, as it should be, because being the host of this show is a huge responsibility that Chris and I cannot handle.
What do you mean? Chris is really good with DuckDuckGo. He can figure it out.
Look, I know my place. I'm the guy who, when push comes to shove, I will open a new web page, and that will be a Google search, not just the DuckDuckGo search.
Oh, okay.
So I know when to do that, when to ratchet it up, my fact checking. And also, I do want to say there was one review that mistook me for, they thought I had blonde hair. And so, while
that doesn't mean you're,
while that
they said
might
you're
not
a favorite.
Be, okay, Chris is my favorite, it's definitely, I'm thinking about Chris. This I'm picturing what his hair looks like. And so, that I feel like there are more implications there than just saying, you know, like, whatever, someone's my favorite. So, something to think about.
Sure. And you know, speaking of Chris and his good fact-checking, an episode or a few aftermaths ago, Chris mentioned something that he could count to a trillion. Remember he said he
yes.
could count to a trillion in 2 days?
Or one weekend.
One weekend.
A holiday weekend. Give me 3 days.
Well, we had a listener write in on our Discord page, and this is from Denny. And they said, okay, so I had to count. Trillion is a trillion. They wrote the number for a trillion. If we believe fact checker Chris that he can count to 20 in 30 seconds,
three seconds,
which is not true, but let's assume that it would take 150 trillion. It would take 150 trillion seconds to count to a trillion.
No, that's probably a billion, 150 billion seconds to count to a trillion.
150, yes, sorry, to a billion. That's about 4,756 years, if my math is correct.
So,
you'll need a lot of those weekend supplies.
Now, I mean, I just feel like, get me a Red Bull. I don't plan on sleeping. Like, he's probably, like, that 4,000 years, like, that's probably, like...
I don't know if they factored in all of your meal breaks.
I do have a lot of meals. Well, it's important to, you're not supposed to have 3 big meals throughout the day. You're supposed to be sort of eat like a bird. So you're supposed to take a lot of meal breaks.
So how many meal breaks do you think you're averaging a day?
A day, I'd say, well, look, and this is aside from if I were to try and count to a trillion, right? Because if I were to do that, I would probably slim it down to one quick sort of, or, you know, one, maybe a 3-meal day, you know, something like that.
Count to 20 again.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. That's, that's 3 seconds, probably less than 3 seconds. I think he needs to redo his math.
Okay, we'll have them check their math and then get back to us and include Chris's 8 little meal breaks a day.
tiny bird meals. okay, so... We've gotten some emails, I want to read one first by Carrie. And Carrie writes in, "Hey, Rebecca, first off, I want to say how much I enjoy your podcast and listening to your team every week. I felt like it was my duty to write in about the saying, 'Shit trickles down.' Now, I wanted to say something on the very first episode where you used it, but never got around to it. It's a saying that I've heard used by my parents my whole life. We were dairy farmers in small town Wisconsin, and I recall asking my mom what it meant. She said, most farms in our area have creeks that run through their cow pastures. The saying refers to the fact that manure will seep into this creek and travel to the next farmland downstream.
Wow.
It first came to use when farmers started using chemicals on their land, some which were later to be found as not so healthy for the cattle. Whatever the farmer upstream from you was doing would in turn affect the downstream farmer by way of the creek. Hence, shit trickles down.
Wow.
Normally, it would be bigger for more corporate farms using these chemicals and smaller farmers seeing the effect downstream. It developed into a saying that meant basically the little guy always gets screwed by what the big guy does up top.
Wow.
Hope this helps you defend your use of the saying. Thanks, Carrie.
That's incredible. I mean, I on behalf of definitely Amanda and the entire Alarmy, sorry, Rebecca, you were right. You're right. That's a saying. It's a totally applicable one. You're using it right.
Yeah. I always imagined shit like a big boulder rolling down a mountain. Always kind of imagined it. But this is like, wow, that's pretty cool. It's basically, yeah, wow. I mean, we're going to start using that even more.
And it has implications, you know, the Green New Deal implications there with cattle farming.
Yes.
We need to be eating less meat, et cetera. So very topical as well.
I felt extremely validated when I got this email. I mean, one of the best emails I've ever gotten in my life. but in all fairness, I must admit, when I say shit trickles down, I Amanda, it's nice to know that Amanda thinks of it as a boulder. I think of it as like literally seeping down a wall. Shit trickles down.
Like somebody threw it against the wall?
Yeah, no, like a leak. No, like a leak.
Oh, I see.
But
oh, like a leak.
But
gotcha.
You know what? No, like a stream cattle poop. Ugh,
you were so close. You were
shit
so close.
Trickles downstream, I bet, was the original saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, I have no connection to Wisconsin or farming. Mm-hmm. So I don't know where I picked it up.
Right. Maybe in another life. You know, we were talking about if you have neck pains, then that might have meant that you were
beheaded.
That you were beheaded.
But well,
if you misunderstand a saying, maybe it means, or if a saying just sort of lives in your heart, maybe it's because maybe you were one of those rich farmers upstream.
Oh, like I was the bad guy?
Maybe. And now your penance is being the alarmist. The karma.
And saying that saying like over and over.
That's right.
Okay. So let's read another email here.
Let's do it.
I'm just reading these willy-nilly. We'll see what they say. Myra Bertel, I have a lot to say about this one. Get your snacks ready.
Oh, and is this Disco Demolition Night?
Oh, yes. Disco Demolition Night. Okay. I was a 13-year-old black girl when the Demolition Night happened. I was just kind of bewildered. Radio during the time was still pretty segregated, and rock stations, at least in L.A., only played white artists. They made an exception for Jimi Hendrix and Thin Lizzy. In those days, white people listened to quote, white music, and black people listened to, quote, black music. Yes, there were exceptions, but this was the norm. Now, I didn't realize the racist component until I went to high school and came in contact with more white people. Neighborhoods were kind of being integrated. They thought everything that a black artist played was disco.
Oh, interesting.
Interesting. Mm. I remember telling this guy I worked at Baskin Robbins with, this artist or that artist was a soul artist or an R&B artist or a funk artist. Nope, they just lumped everything in the same category. If it was black or obviously dance music, it was disco, and disco sucked. I was like, damn, really? You couldn't like both? Because if you were black, and liked rock music, something was wrong with you. And your black peers thought that you were nuts. If you were white and you liked disco, well, I didn't know any white kids that would admit to liking disco. MTV came around and quickly followed suit. They played no black artists at all. I think the first black video they played was Thriller. Now, I secretly liked white music, but I couldn't tell anyone. I told my white friends that they thought I was somehow cool. I told my white friends and they thought I was somehow cool. It makes me sick thinking back on it. I like the podcast. I listen often. But for this, this is my first episode. I love that you guys did with the Tulsa riots. Good luck.
Wow, that's so interesting. And that's coming from someone's firsthand experience. So really, really fascinating. And that makes a lot of sense why it was such a racially charged night at Disco Demolition Night and why they were burning albums just from black artists that weren't disco, if at the time a lot of ignorant white people thought that all black music was just disco.
Right. It just seemed like there was some conflating going on there. And it's also such an interesting point here by Myra, because, you know, that period of time, there were so many different genres of music, and that wasn't always the case, right? I mean, as music got more popular, they just sort of started to segment, and, you know, different sort of subcultures started popping up. So, so people will probably, you know, that's where sort of a lot of the sort of ignorance comes from, is just people shrugging and saying, well, if it's a black artist, it's black music, just to make things simpler for themselves.
Yeah, it's just wild to me, like, when you look... It maybe what Myra's experience was, like, looking back on it, it seemed normal, you know, to do those things. And now, you know, we have, you know, grown a little bit more, understand more. And we think back on the things that happened to us as kids and we're like, whoa, that was screwed up.
Yeah, that's interesting. I will say that also, this is interesting because music, when you think about music, you think of like, oh, it's so transcendent. Like, if anything can, like, if it's a good song, it's a good song. And like, white or black, like, you feel like, oh, everyone's going to appreciate this music. But that obviously wasn't always the case. But I turned on the Grammys the other night and I was just fully prepared to kind of hate watch it because the Emmys were so bad. And I was like, okay, let's just watch the Grammys for a second and see like what kind of socially distanced shit show this is. But oh my God, I ended up watching the whole thing. And it was, I don't know, did you guys see any of it? It was amazing. And it was so cool just to see, like, it was just very diverse. And you had, like, black people doing country music. And, like, it was just really cool.
Yeah.
And I just felt like, oh, this is awesome that I really feel like maybe in 2020 and 2021, like, a lot of the genres are kind of crossing over in a cool way.
Interesting.
Yeah,
we're all sharing. It's like all sharing. I don't know, music genres.
Yeah, well, and I feel like different types of artists are getting more attention, sort of globally as well. Like, it's not just white English speaking American artists necessarily anymore, which is so cool.
Mm-hmm. I hope we get more Bollywood.
Oh my God, I love Bollywood.
I know. I just wish it was more mainstream, you know, here.
There's a whole streaming service we just found the other day, just like cruising through our TV. There's like a whole Bollywood streaming service. I forget what it's called, but they have a bunch of, it's not all Bollywood movies. It's just like a bunch of different, I think, Indian made movies, but that looked awesome.
We should have a screening this summer. So this was another message we got. This one's from Jane Myers. And it says, so intrigued by the disco podcast, the disco episode. Bottom line was, I didn't want to give up my bell-bottom jeans. The jeans got me through the crazy 60s with all the cultural and historical changes. I was in a small town in Ohio. I found the clothes intriguing and the lighted dance floors, so I didn't reject disco totally. I just didn't want to give up the music that was so comfortable to me. I was born in 1952, so I'm looking at this from a much different perspective. I would send reluctance to accept cultural change to jail. So many of the things that you talk about include cultural change and how difficult that is to experience when you are in the moment. I came from the Vietnam era and the Cold War. Holding on to something that felt comfortable and familiar was huge.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
If you thought the only way to get a more defined jawline with natural-looking results was through surgery, think again. Juvederm Volux XC is a non-surgical injectable gel filler that improves moderate to severe loss of jawline definition and can help you achieve natural-looking results with little downtime. Even better, this improved definition lasts up to 1 year with optimal treatment. No maintenance required. Improve jawline definition for a smooth, sculpted look with Juvederm Volux XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
That's an interesting perspective. And I can understand being attached to clothing. Like we're having, you know, we're being told right now that skinny jeans are out.
Yes.
Hairline parts have to go through the middle, not the side.
Now, this is what's coming from Gen Z. Obviously, this is what the media is wanting us to think Gen Z is thinking. But really what's going on is some Gen Xer out there is writing think pieces about what Gen Z is screaming at millennials. So I don't put, yes, I did change my side part to a middle part. Okay, but I'm not giving that a lot of credit.
I'm 5 feet. I'm very short, everyone. And bell bottom jeans, they just don't work for short people.
Is that true?
Especially when you're curvy.
I don't know. I feel like the bell bottom jeans actually really work with the curve because it's like you got the curve at the hip and then you curve back out at the bottom.
If you have enough money to get, tailored bell bottoms.
Oh.
But the problem is that when you're short, you buy them. So where your knee is, where it goes in, is like by my ankle. So
I see. So you just cut them and then they're skinny leg anyway.
With a tiny flare at the bottom.
That's so funny. I mean, I really could. I could see you in. What about a boot cut? Is that acceptable?
I don't know. Is it? Somebody please write in.
I don't think a boot. No, it's not.
But Chris is saying boot cuts are not acceptable. But you know what I think should never be acceptable are low waist jeans.
Those are coming back, I think.
No.
I think they are, unfortunately.
No, Amanda.
Yes, the early 2000s, the Monica Lewinsky low-rise express slacks are back.
No.
Thongs out.
I've I feel like Monica Lewinsky needs to do a PSA about that and just be like, guys, don't do it.
I like a nice mid-rise. You know, because the high waisted, sometimes it's not comfy if you have a big meal. The mid rise, I can do.
I was disappointed that the high waisted pants never crossed over into mainstream for men. It really just stopped sort of on the fringes with like normcore. Like, yeah. If you're a man, you can't really pull it off. It's not. Because I would have really enjoyed that.
Well, I think there's still time for it. I think you'd look great in a pair of high waisted pants.
Thank you, Amanda. It's nice of you to say, but it's this is for the alarmy and anybody listening out there. It's more about how you feel in the clothes.
It's true. That's true.
It's really, and I've tried those high waisters on, and I tell you, it was hard for me to get out of the dressing room. You know what I mean?
So, I mean, Jane really didn't need to give up her bell bottoms. This is what we're learning here. It's like you can go with the flow and keep a few things that make you feel comfortable and familiar, right? It's okay to have your little nappy or what is the thing that little kids sleep with? Your little teddy?
Binky.
Well, I think you could call it, I think those are all made up baby names, so you can call it whatever you want.
Now, this is a message from Caitlin. Caitlin says, wait, so quarantine, this is regarding Romeo and Juliet. Wait, so quarantining back then meant being locked in a house for 28 days, but the entire play takes place over 5 days. So was Friar John lying? How did he get out of quarantine to tell Friar Lawrence that he couldn't deliver the letter? Now, I'm going to tell you what, I love Caitlin, because Caitlin's a smart cookie here. Okay. The really kind of investigative thinking that I enjoy in a person. Now, she's right, or they're right. And the reason why, so Shakespeare makes the play, cuts it down to something like 4 or 5 days, right? But it's based on a short story or a novella that where it takes, I believe it's something like 6 months. The love affair is 6 months. So I think that in the translation or in the adaptation, some things were, you know, kind of like slip between the cracks. And Shakespeare was like, you know what? Don't think about it. We just got through this.
Nobody's going to know. It's like that meme. Nobody's going to know. They're going to know. Nobody's going to know.
Cut to 2021, the Alarmist podcast.
Someone finally picked it off.
Yeah. And in a way, it's like they just went through a plague themselves, a pandemic themselves. So, you know, I'm sure Shakespeare got maybe some shit about it, you know, because they would have known what a quarantine was. But perhaps a quarantine back then was also shorter. They saw quarantine as, you know, it wasn't the standard 14 days.
Mm. It could also
maybe
just
he escaped from the quarantine.
Yeah, he could have escaped, or just artistic license, right? To make those kinds of choices, you're like suspension of disbelief. I mean, this is all kind of happening on a stage, you know, in front of an audience. So if they can, and also like,
so relax.
Wasn't Juliet played by a boy for the most part too?
I'll tell you another thing. The friar could have been lying.
Yeah, well, that's what Caitlin says.
Oh, gotcha.
Perhaps the friar was lying.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're saying that it meant for 28 days back then. So it's a good point. And if Friar Lawrence did lie, then that's bad.
That's
but at the end of the day,
against Friar Lawrence, and we sent his ass to jail.
Mm-hmm. Friar Lawrence. Yeah. Friar John was possibly lying.
Oh, okay.
Right.
But Friar Lawrence, at the end of the day, again, we keep coming back to the fact that he only sent one letter. So that, come on, how short-sighted do you have to be? Like, their lives are in his hands.
He's taking a poison. They're taking poison.
They're taking poison. Send up multiple letters just to make sure the message gets there. So that's on him. That's on him. So we got a really good response from the Britney about the Britney episode. We had Instagram Instagram follower Paul B. Nixon comment, should we have added toxic American culture to the board? Which I like his play on words there. You get it? Because of toxic.
The taste of your lips, I'm on the rise.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. We missed an opportunity.
That was a whiff on our part.
Yeah.
Yes, that was a that was a bit of a whiff. But
just checking, was Clayton taking my spot in that episode or was I
he
there?
He was.
Okay, just wanted to note. Just wanted
Chris
to note
would
that.
Have caught it.
It's possible. That's possible. Maybe not. Just wanted to mention.
Okay. Oh, and there was another back to the Romeo and Juliet episode. Cammy on Discord wrote, love the Romeo and Juliet episode. Interesting to see the evolution of the blame game, but I feel like Romeo is highly culpable. He's a horny, hothead hooligan. If he had calmed down just a bit, none of this would have happened.
Wow.
Cammy makes a good point.
Horny, hothead hooligan. Just calm down, buddy.
Yeah.
It's funny because Horatio is even more of a horned up hothead hooligan. Like, they are all horny.
They're horned up.
Hothead hooligans.
And that's what our guest expert talked about.
Yeah.
I feel like Shakespeare missed an opportunity to name the play that. That could have been.
Sort of. That's an alliteration, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
absolutely.
I love a good alliteration. Now, this is regarding the Flint water crisis. And this is Evie Jacobo says, hi, I got to get this out of my chest. I love when it's so intense. They just have to get it out. In the Flint water crisis episode, Obama wasn't blamed. Mm. And he was involved and even visited the place and faked drinking the water.
Ooh.
I did read about this. He did go to Flint post, this was like, I want to say in January, like after everything had gone down. And I'm assuming he drank the water, perhaps faked it. They were faking a bunch of that drinking water. Remember, because they were saying that they were gonna drink it, but then at work they had like fridges full of water bottles.
Yeah, that's a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That was a whiff.
We should have put Obama. We should, yeah.
And I was there, and if Clayton had been there, he might have mentioned that. So, you know.
I believe Clayton was also there for Flint.
Yes, he was.
It was the four of us.
Oh, that's right.
So,
yeah.
So we all get a strike.
I'm doing a little bit of research online. I think it's up for debate whether he faked it or not, because even if people are upset, even if he did really drink it, because, you know, a sip to reassure people is not going to hurt him when this is
right.
These people's, you know, complete water supply, and the experts are saying it's poison. So either way, it's crappy.
Now, this is another email we got about the Flint water crisis. This one is pretty cool. Dear Alarmist Podcast, my name is Sarah, and I'm a longtime listener of the pod. I love listening every week, and I was so happy you did Flint, Michigan water crisis. I'm from a town near Flint, and since 2015, this has been something that has affected so many people's lives. While I was not directly affected by the crisis, I see the effects, and I feel for the people of Flint. It is sad that everyone has stopped talking about this issue. I moved to a different city and no one here knows about the issue, or if they do, they believe it's over, as this is how the media has portrayed it. I just want to say thank you for talking about this issue, as this is the only way people can learn more. The episode shows that people do care about the people of Flint. There are some really awesome doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals who had been working on the crisis since it started. I believe they deserve the big clap, as they have been working hard to help people who have really suffered from the contaminated water. Thanks again. And this is our listener, Sarah.
Wow. So I think we should honor Sarah's request.
I think so, too. So to the awesome doctors, nurses, and healthcare professionals who have been working on this crisis behind the scenes, who, as we know, healthcare professionals are underrated. They don't get the applause that they deserve. You're getting the big clap. Our dogs just perked up.
Like, what are we clapping for? What are we clapping for? Nurses? We're getting excited. Are we getting... No, we're, yeah. Nurses and doctors. Flint water crisis. Yoki. Okay.
So, I mean, do we have time? How much more time do we have?
I think we could, listen, we can do one more and then we'll wrap up.
Okay. Now, this is from, oh gosh, there's a few more. Let's see here. Okay. Hi, Rebecca. I've written to you before and I'm a big fan. I know I've mentioned that I am a mental health therapist. And this is from listener Lisa Oliveto. And she has written, she wrote to us about the Kanye and Taylor Swift episode.
Oh, yes.
No, and now Lisa says, I come from a family of psychiatrists too, so we wondered what was going on in 2007 when Britney had the episode. I've read that Britney is speculated to have bipolar disorder, and the episode in 2007 seemed to be a manic episode with psychotic features, perhaps. Persons with bipolar disorder during a manic or high phase often feel euphoric, brimming with ambitious ideas, their confidence excessively high. They may reach financial decisions that seem sensible to them at the time, which in retrospect are not. People may spend extravagantly and build up considerable debts. This is a very treatable disease, but it does take time for medications to reach full efficacy. And it may be why Britney was kept in the hospital for a while. And while it's treatable, unfortunately, there's no cure and must be managed throughout one's lifetime. While in a manic phase, I have had clients go through their entire savings and get themselves deep in debt. I guess we don't know if Britney has had the tendency to overspend or make poor financial decisions, but it may be a reason this conservatorship happened. I've had clients as young as Britney have a family member or a lawyer managing their finances. However, I think many, many impartial mental health professionals should be involved in making these decisions so vulnerable people are not taken advantage of by family members. I think the guest expert made such an important point when he said society doesn't recognize mental health issues as disabling. There are illnesses like any other health condition, and people with these diagnoses can qualify and receive Social Security disability benefits depending on their situation. I think we all need to recognize that these illnesses are often invisible and stigmatized and do our part to fight to change that. Best regards, Lisa.
Wow.
I love when Lisa writes in.
Yeah. Very interesting.
Yeah, she's the reason. Lisa's the reason we have totally like kind of changed our just the way we talk about mental health by calling things untreated mental illness. So she's very insightful and has really helped us create more thoughtful conversation around the topic.
Yeah, for sure. And this is a really good point and something you hear a lot when issues around mental health come up, which is that it's a disability that you perhaps can't see in some cases, in a lot of cases. So to recognize it as such is important.
It's true.
Maybe that's what's in the hidden document would be that diagnosis. It's also interesting, too, because you hear a lot of people in the Free Britney movement being like, she's so young and, you know, is so functional career-wise. It's so unusual for her to have a conservatorship, but interesting that Lisa's point that she's seen young people with untreated bipolar disorder under conservatorships. Yeah. So it does make sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And maybe perhaps the financial issue is why she is still in a conservatorship.
Right, but as the guest expert explained to us, there are two different types of conservatorships, right. And she thought it would be appropriate to, you know, if she wanted to keep the financial one and just get rid of the other one, that means her dad can tell her, like, her every move.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So hopefully this will get sorted out and Britney, you know, will be able to have the kind of conservatorship or not that she wants.
And is best for her, you know.
And is best for her, yeah. For sure. So that is all in terms of emails. I mean, I love everyone's feedback and I love everyone writing in. So keep that up, guys, and keep up the rating and reviewing, because we need to get up on those charts. I mean, Amanda, what are the odds that we're going to be like the number one comedy podcast on the charts? What do we have to do to get there?
We have to murder Joe Rogan to start.
Yes, murder Joe Rogan, and then we'll have to take out Conan O'Brien.
Oh.
No, the odds are great. The really good odds for us to get to number one if everyone who listens would rate and review. But there are other ways you can support the show too. You could give us a one-time tip by going to the Acast supporter feature in our show notes. There's no monthly obligation. It's just like, hey, love the podcast. Here's $10. We really appreciate it. You can also... This is kind of more for fun and to spread the word, but we have merch, which, I mean, we're not making a lot of money on the merch, okay? We got to pay the shipping company and stuff, but it's still fun. So check out our merch at erios.net and go to the shop page. You'll see all of our cool alarmist merch. And also, I got to say, when you hear the ads and it's Rebecca reading like a HelloFresh ad, if you can support us by using our code, that's how we get more advertisers, and that's how companies renew their campaigns. So that's also really helpful. And there's a little something in it for you, too.
Yeah, that's a great way to support the show. And I do want to add that all of the money that comes in from the Acast tips goes right back into the show. And we're working on better sound equipment and making sure, you know, guests like Clayton to have a microphone they can use.
Yes.
snacks for Chris.
No, snacks. He's not getting
Chris's like, six tiny meals.
Just a couple string cheeses. Throw a couple string cheeses my way a couple hours before the podcast, and I'll be ready to go.
So yeah, so thank you so much for all of that. It really goes straight back in.
And also, if we we've started doing this thing where on our Instagram and Twitter, we post on Wednesdays our upcoming episode, and we ask you guys to comment with ideas for what to put on the board. And we choose one concept from your suggestions and we'll shout you out in the episode. So make sure to follow us on Instagram and Twitter.
And last week, one of our listener's suggestions ended up getting the big slap. So your voice is getting heard. So follow us on Instagram. We're at the Alarmist Podcast. I think that's it for this Thursday.
Yeah. I'm ready for a snack.
We can't afford it.
No. Thanks again, everyone, for listening. We'll see you next week. We are going to be discussing Carrie, the movie, the 1976 horror classic. It's going to be juicy.
Erios.
Powered by Acast.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.